Have you ever been in a place in your life or business where you're doing something and you feel pot committed? You feel like you've put too much time, effort, energy, and money into creating whatever it is you've created, whether it's a business or whether it's a relationship, and you feel like you're not going down the right path. However, you're scared to go in a different direction because of everything you've put into it. Well, today's guest and today's episode, I think, is going to be inspiring for you in many ways. I have my friend Javier Hinojo Jr., who I met, as you're about to hear, at a mastermind, like so many of my guests, about a year and a half ago. And he shares, and I didn't even realize this, but he shared with me that my presentation and how I opened up about what I was feeling really had an impact on him, along with somebody else's presentation. And you're about to hear how he spent 6.5 years sacrificing a lot of hours, and his family made a big sacrifice as well for him to get his single family business to do 50 plus rehabs a year and over 80 wholesale deals a year. So a company doing over 130 transactions a year. He had built a team of 8, and at that mastermind, instantly overnight, he decided that's no longer what he wanted to do. Went back home, tore it all down, went in a completely different direction. And to this day, he is about to cross over 1,000 multifamily doors in just 19 months. So I'm going to leave it at that. We also talk about the sacrifices that he's had to make, his family. We talk about being present, the challenges of being present with our loved ones as entrepreneurs. And there's a lot of just, you know, deep things that we kind of get into that I think it's important that we have this type of dialogue and this conversation within our space and amongst entrepreneurs. So with that being said, let's go ahead and kick this one off.
You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Welcome, everyone. My name's Alex Pardo. Super pumped and excited to have you join me on a masterclass. I have an absolute rock star, an incredible human being, someone who I had the opportunity to meet. And you're going to hear all about that story. It's kind of very, very interesting, the direction that he and I have chosen to go in. And so I have my good friend Javier on the podcast. Welcome to the show, brother.
Alex, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
No, man. No, it's like I said, it's an honor, dude. I've been following you on social media. I see everything that you are doing for your family, for the community, for other real estate investors. And I just love to see quality people win, especially when they're following their path and tapping into their strengths and unique abilities. So yeah, man, I'm really excited to get into the content of the show today.
Awesome. Yeah, well, let's roll.
Beautiful. Well, so why don't we start with, I almost wish we were recording a few minutes ago when you and I started talking about how we met. So let me kind of set the stage here.
Okay.
And then from there, we'll probably rewind a little bit so people have a better understanding of who you are. But so Javier and I met, I want to say this was September of 2019, was it?
19, exactly. Yes.
So that was your first mastermind meeting, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So the way that Javier and I were part of Collective Genius, and the way it works is there's a lot of people. And so we're broken up into, like, you know, 2 different rooms or 3 different rooms. I don't even recall at this time. And Javier and I happen to be in the same room. And so the way that this particular mastermind works is everybody goes up and essentially presents for 15 to 20 minutes. And I presented on the fact that wholesaling no longer fit my vision. I was feeling like something was missing. I was feeling a lack of joy and fulfillment. And that was the first time that I had publicly revealed to a group of, you know, high achievers and successful entrepreneurs. And I remember feeling a little nervous to kind of like publicly share what I was feeling. And I got so many people that came up to me after and could relate to what I shared. And Javier was one of them. So with that as kind of the, you know, the groundwork for the conversation we're going to have today, tell me about that interaction and what was it about whatever I shared that I guess resonated with you?
Listen, so guys, if you're not a part of a mastermind, join a mastermind. First of all, that's all I got to say. I cannot be where I'm at right now if I was not joined the masterminds. Just, I'm going to throw that out there already. I'm a big supporter. But, you know, I went to the mastermind. I was actually with my wife and I was flipping about 50 properties a year. I was wholesaling 70, 80 properties a year. I mean, we had this machine, right? I got feeding this machine. And I wanted to go there and I wanted to scale. Hey, I want to do 75, 100. You know, we're sitting with guys there that are flipping 100 properties a year, 150 wholesaling, you know, a couple hundred. I mean, there's some big players there. So I wanted to go learn. And as I'm sitting there and I saw these people talk about, these investors talk about their business, I knew the like team that I had, they're all great people, but they weren't going to take me where I needed to go. So I kind of had to like reset shop, right? Like just kind of restart and let's roll. And I said, if I'm going to do that, let me just do it in a different way. Let me transition to like multifamily, right? I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So in that time, I had the same feeling as you. I wasn't fulfilled with single family. It just seemed like it was just a constant machine I had to feed. And you know what my thought was, which I found out later what the feeling was, and maybe that's what you felt. Like as far as scaling your wholesaling business, I felt like if I scaled my wholesaling and flipping business, I was going to scale to unhappiness. Does that make sense? Does that resonate? Like
it scale, does resonate.
Scale to unhappiness. You got up there, you know, you have a podcast, you're doing a lot of different things, and you went up there and you just pretty much put it in the table. Like, hey guys, this is what I'm feeling. I'm sitting there like, holy crap, is he actually saying this? Like that takes some balls. I mean, I'm just saying, right? Like that's awesome, right? And that was like one thing that clicked. And then a Nick out of Boston got up there and started talking about his perfect day. What does perfect day look like, right? And he went the whole presentation. I almost cried at his presentation, right? At the very end. And then he talked about a book called Mikey and the Dragons. Mm-hmm. And later on that night, that's the first book I've ever read in my life. It's about a 20-minute read. It has a lot of pictures and big, thick words, which I love, right? For a 6-year-old or a 50-year-old, it doesn't matter. But that night made me want to, being in that mastermind, listen to you speak, listen to Nick speak, what I was already feeling inside, but didn't really know what I was feeling inside until you guys actually said it. And then I read that book and I said, screw it, I'm done. I told my wife the next day, honey, we're quitting. I'm no more single family. I'm going to go to multifamily, right?
Wow.
Like, that's the whole story, man. Like,
dude, so I want to give you credit and acknowledge you publicly on this show because, you know, you talk about me having balls and just sharing that what you did is having balls. The fact that you have this successful business that you've put your years, blood, sweat, tears, money, energy into, you have a team, and one night you realize, hey, that's not where I want to go, and I'm going to make a transition now. Yep. So many entrepreneurs get caught in, you know, just doubling down on the things that don't bring them that happiness and fulfillment because they feel like they're so invested into it that they have to keep going. And I think that's a mistake. I think you're teaching people that you can make a decision to go in the direction that's going to fulfill you.
Yeah. And not just that, not just make a decision and go in a different way, but you might feel like you're letting people down. Like I couldn't imagine how you felt because you have a podcast about wholesaling, the Flip Empire show. And if you're saying, hey, wholesaling and this and that is not fulfilling me anymore. I was like, you know, I felt like there's Alex's identity. It's like, where's it going? Like, you know, what is he going to do? But once you started sharing your heart and everything that was that you had planned and was going to fulfill you, I had no doubt you were going to succeed. I mean, I had no doubt.
Thank
in whatever you.
You
decided to do.
Thank you for sharing that. That means so much. And I know for a fact that your story, and that's why I'm so excited to have you on the show, is going to have a profound impact on people's lives and businesses because you're an inspiration, man. That was, what was that? A year and a half, almost 2 years ago. And
yeah, about 19, 20 months. Yeah.
Yeah. So from that point to what I see you doing now on social media, and not just what you're doing in your business, but again, the inspiration and the impact that you're having on people, the following and the audience that you're building. So let's kind of take a few steps back. I wanted to share that story so people understand where the connection comes from. And then I want to fast forward to the things you're doing today. Okay. Talk to us a little bit about your background. Where do you come from? Did you come from a family of entrepreneurs? And what kind of led you down this path to want to blaze your own trail?
For sure. So I always knew, like deep inside, you know, and I know a lot of your audience can resonate with this. There was just something more that you had to give, right? Like you weren't just that ordinary person. Like I say, think outside the box. And I'm like, where the hell is the box? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, where's the box? I don't even see a damn box. And that was just inside of me, right? And I know people listening to this know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's just this feeling that, you know, like I got to do something with my life, right? I'm just not, if everybody's running that way towards the exit, I'm going to find a different way to go because it's probably an easier way to go. But, you know, I felt like that as a young age. One goal that I had when I was a teenager was to never ride the school bus when I went to high school. And I never did. I worked when I was 12, 13, odd jobs and made enough money to buy this 1989 Hyundai Elantra purple hatchback with a glitter on it. You know, it was a piece of crap car, but I didn't even have a license. I didn't have insurance. And I drove myself every day to high school and I didn't ride the bus one time. Right. So I already knew I had that spirit in me of like, hey, I'm gonna get stuff done. It doesn't matter what it takes. You know, I literally went knocking on people's doors around the high school and asked the owners, can I park my car here, please? Because I don't have a license and I can't park my car in the school. And one lady actually let me park my car there.
Incredible, so, man.
Yeah, and my dad was in the military. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and my dad had an entrepreneurial spirit, and he still does. So I got that from my dad, entrepreneurial spirit. And okay. I think I got, like, my dad has great work ethic, but my mom is just 10x that. And I got my mom's work ethic. So together and some ideas, a lot of failures, a lot of, you know, lessons, a lot of money spent, you know, but I just had to try a business, another one and another one until something hit.
I think that's a perfect place to kind of pause for a second because, man, I know how much I gain and learn from listening to people's quote unquote failures and the lessons learned.
Yep.
And the truth of the matter is, you know this, Javier, we all deal with adversity, setbacks, obstacles. It's inevitable that you're going to be faced with that. The question becomes, what are you going to do when you're faced with that adversity? That famous Mike Tyson quote, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
That's an awesome quote, yeah.
So when life and business punches you in the face, what are you going to do? So you talk about a lot of your failures and lessons learned. Is there any one that jumps out at you that you would say, wow, that really... what I learned from that particular failure is what shaped me into the man and leader I am today. Is there anything that kind of jumps out at you?
I don't want to say it's a failure. I was in the military and, you know, I made a lot of good friends and, you know, God bless everybody in the military. I appreciate everybody's service.
For sure.
But it just wasn't for me, right? Those 4 years that I was there, like, it was just such a grind for me. Like, I was going against, like, the machine, like, you know, just, it was just, is to sit on their ways, you know, you're told what to do, where to go. And it just went such against my, maybe that's a good thing. Yeah. You know, it was not my nature, right? To kind of follow instructions or, you know, be the private. Like, I got to flip rocks. But in a way, give me discipline, right? Like,
sure.
If it's raining, I don't care. If it's cold, I don't care. I slept in a hole, you know, I was in the woods for 30 days, you know, so that was good. But I would say probably my biggest lesson was, it was a good thing that I actually joined the military. Mm-hmm. And I really realized, like, man, I can never have a job. Like, I can never have a job. That was like the biggest lesson that I learned while I was there. Right. Yeah. And I think that really pushed me forward to say, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Right. So
number one, thank you for your service. Just the fact you were a part of, you know, our armed forces. So thank you for that. You and I have a lot more in common. I didn't serve in the military, but you and I have a lot of the things in common. I remember thinking to myself when I got a job out of college, couple months into that, I'm like, I can't work for somebody. I'm not cut from that cloth. I'm not meant to do that. In fact, if you were to ask my wife, I do my best not to live in fear in any aspect of my life. But if I had to say one thing I'm fearful of is failing to the point that I actually have to go get a job. Like, that's how much you and I are just not cut from that cloth. So was real estate your first entrepreneurial venture, or did you do other businesses prior to getting into real estate?
No. Yeah. I mean, my dad was a locksmith, or still is a locksmith. So he had a service company. So I learned as a kid how to be a locksmith. And I actually started my locksmith business while I was in the military. So I was doing, that was my side hustle. And I would make 5, 7, 10 times more working part-time than I would make in the military. That kind of helped me, like, you know, when I got out, I was ready to go. I had like another service company, a towing company, done vending machines. You know, I pretty much, you know, I've always started teaching like a kind of daycare. You know, I've always done entrepreneurial things, right? Until I just knew that some point, somehow, I had to do real estate. I just didn't know how or when, or, you know, when it was going to happen. So
let's talk. What year did you transition into real estate?
That was 6.5 years ago. So give or take about 6.5 years ago.
Javier, I know where you're at now, and we're going to get there so that people can hear, but it's incredible that you've built what you've built in 6.5 years. So you got into real estate. Were you wholesaling or flipping, like, right out of the gate?
Look, so right off the gate, I did one of those 3-weekend seminars, like the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, kind of like the Fortune Builders. And my good friend of mine, we paid $35K, and then we didn't really know anything. And halfway through, like, our first introductory class, we got a property under contract and we flipped it. You know, we bought it and we rehabbed it and then we flipped it. And that was it. Like, I said, okay, great. You know, it made like $17,000. I forgot how much we made. And I'm like, this kind of sucks. If I want to make a lot of money, I got to flip a lot, right? Or have bigger margins.
Yeah.
So then I just said, okay, let's flip 5, let's flip 10, let's flip 20, right? That was pretty much, I started flipping first and then wholesaling.
The way that you describe it, it sounds like it came relatively effortless for you. Did you find this business to be pretty easy because of your previous experience as an entrepreneur? Or, because I'm sure there were challenges along the way, but it sounds like you have a knack for it.
I'm a kind of like shoot first and then aim later kind of guy.
Me too.
So just taking action, right? Like, learn, take action, right? And kind of learn the process. I mean, I still remember like it was yesterday, and getting the property under contract. I'm like, oh shoot, what now? Like, where do I get my money? The loan? What's my interest? What's my payments? What's the closing cost? Insurance? Like, how much do I bring to the table? Like, what attorney do I use? Like, what's my contract? Like, yeah, all the questions somebody has for the first deal, right? It's like the first time you sit to drive a car. You try to put the seatbelt on, you adjust the mirrors. But after you do it 100 times or 50 times, you don't even think about it anymore, right? It's simple. Right. But when somebody's brand new, you still have all those thoughts and challenges, right? So yeah, yep, I mean, 100%. I want to say that it was not easy, but I'm the kind of guy that just shoots first, right? And let's figure it out. Like, burn the ships, let's go, you know?
Let's do it. I can relate. And so right around the time that you and I met, how many people did you have on your team at that point?
When we met, I want to say I had about 8 people on my team. Yeah, 7, okay. 8 people on my flipping team, yep.
You had 8 people. Obviously, you shared the story, how you read that book and that, you know, that was very pivotal for you. So talk to me about, okay, you made a decision mentally while you were at the mastermind. You go back home. Like, talk to me about the process of unwinding your team and saying, okay, I'm going to go in a completely different direction within real estate.
Man, that's so tough for me because I want to say I'm a nice person. The last thing I want to do is tell somebody that, you know, I'm going to let them go. But I had a friend tell me, hey, look, they might be great people, but you're going to do a disservice to them if you keep them, right? That's They're going to grow more somewhere else. They're going to do better things. If they're not going to fit the new plan or the new business, you know, don't keep them, right? So I pretty much told everybody, hey, guys, I'm not buying any more properties and we're going to get rid of what we got. And that's pretty much it. You know, I give everybody like a few weeks notice and slowly everybody started, you know, winding down. And,
I was just going to share, Javier, because I want that to sit and breathe. Like, I wanted to breathe for a second that I want people to be in your shoes. You had built this business where you guys were doing 50 flips a year, did you say?
Yep.
And how many wholesales a year?
About 80.
Dude, you're doing 130 plus deals a year. Yeah. I know what it takes to have a team and all the overhead, but with that many deals, you're profitable. And you just, in a moment's notice, you're like, I'm tearing the whole thing. You know what? I consider that a friend of mine said, I went through a path of creative destruction. Okay. And that's what I think you did, is that you had to tear it down to build it back up, but build up the business that you wanted. But I don't know if people realize just quite how challenging and hard that is to make that mental shift and then to actually follow through and do it.
Listen, one of the biggest things when I turned around, I told my wife, I said, hey, look, I want to, we're quitting. That's after, like, you know, it had been like, you know, 4 years or 4.5 years of real estate. You know, I ignore my wife. I ignore my kids. That was my biggest sacrifice, right? Time with my family. That was like my sacrifice and their sacrifice, right? Yeah, the business that I wanted to build for them caused some pain and hurt to them because I was working so much, you know? And now we had the ball rolling and she just looks at me like, oh my gosh, you know? But she smiled and she said, how much time do you need? That's all she had. That's all she told me, because for her, it's all about security. And like a dumbass, I didn't know any better. I said, 2 years, give me 2 years, right? So in a way, I gave myself that 2 year mark. I mean, which is fine, right? It's been less than 2 years now. And then I have to make that switch of going back and telling my team, like, hey guys, like really just tear it down and really kind of stop making money, right? Because it was really a job, right? It was really a job. You know, if I didn't feed the machine, get more deals coming in, I wasn't going to make any money. I still have some deals in the pipeline and things like that, which worked out okay. But at some point in the apartment building, you don't make money fast, right? It's just, you make long-term wealth. Yeah. So I have to really, honestly, I didn't plan it out very well. I just said, let's go.
But dude, to your point, that's how you're wired. You're ready, fire, aim type of guy. And this was no different. But look, the same way that you told me you knew I was going to succeed, having the opportunity to meet you and then now kind of follow you from afar, like, dude, you're a go-getter. You had to know that you were going to make it happen one way or the other. It wasn't if you were going to succeed, it was when you were going to succeed. What I was going to ask you, Javier, is at that point when you made the decision, did you know you were going to transition into multifamily?
Yes. Yeah, I definitely did. Yes.
Okay. What was it about multifamily versus like other asset classes that said, hey, that's where I want to hang my hat. That's what I want to go after.
Just because I think it was a sexy thing to do. If I would have thought a little bit better, I would have probably done self-storage. Or mobile home park right off the bat.
That's a fair answer. Yeah. So at that point, did you have any experience with multifamily?
Oh, I had no idea.
No idea. So walk us through, because there's so many people that listen to the show and watch the show and find themselves at a similar crossroads. Hey, I'm doing this, but I really want to be doing that. However, lack of certainty, or they let the lack of knowledge or experience or resources or insert the blank stop them from actually going in that direction. You don't seem to have that problem. I want that. I'm going to go get it. So what were your steps 1, 2, and 3 for the benefit of people watching and listening?
Listen, step number one was just to believe, right? That you can do it. That was step number one. Just all you got to do, first step is believe. That was it. And then step number two was, you know, those three type of people, right? The ones that you want to spend no time with right away, people that you want to spend less time with, and the people you want to spend more time with. So network, basically, right? Yeah. And start networking. And then it's actually not that hard. You know, believe, network, and then just be part of a project somehow, bring some value to somebody who's a lot smarter than you, has already done it, where you can kind of latch on and learn the process. That's what I did. I don't know how to do it. Like, I'm assuming if I ever wanted to learn how to do a filling in somebody's tooth, I could probably watch a dentist, you know, 10, 20 times and probably learn how to do a very basic one without having to go to dental school. I'm assuming I would. I think I could do it. Or somebody can show me how to clean somebody's teeth and I can do it, right?
Yeah, you know,
and that's pretty much what I decided to do. Just find the experts that already done it before and kind of latch on and see the process. And I'm not a detail guy or an operations guy by no means. So when I saw the process, I have an idea how it works. Now let me find people to put in those spots so they can do it for me, right? Mm,
that's really good. So what I just heard you say was, hey, I stuck to my lane. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. And the things I'm not good at, let me find people that love that and are good at that. And then together we can accomplish more.
Yeah, basically. Yep. And I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid of being people on my team that are a lot smarter than me. I'll give you an example. Right now I'm in Cancun with my marketing team. It's five of us. Well, it's six with me. It's six people here. And I just found out every single one of them has a master's degree. You know, wow. I have a high school degree, you know, and so you can't be, you know, I'm not here to tell them what to do. I'm here so they can tell me what I need to do and how I can help them do better at their job.
Yeah.
Right. And don't be afraid to hire people who are a lot smarter than you.
That's right. That's right. And that's the sign of a true leader, someone that understands that you never want to be the smartest person in a room. That's why you and I join masterminds. We're not trying to surround ourselves with people that we think we're above. We're trying to up level. There's no difference when you're hiring a team. You know, people, one of the things that I see, a mistake that I commonly see entrepreneurs make is trying to go cheap on the people they hire versus trying to find the most talented people. So let me ask you this, brother.
It'll cost you in the long run. You'll pay for it either way. You're going to pay for it.
That's right. 100%. 100%. So 19, 20 months ago, you said, hey, I'm going to transition into multifamily. Give us an overview of where your business is today.
All right, perfect. So in September of 2019, I switched over and I just told myself, I'm going to be part, I'm going to buy my first apartment by the end of the year. Like, yeah, I didn't know. I just said it. And guess what happened? December 3rd, a couple months later, we bought a 60-unit apartment building in Charleston, South Carolina, right? And I had a small part to play. I had a couple of things to do on my side. And one of the things was to raise $1.3 million. I'm like, hell yeah, I can raise $1.3 million. I usually had 2 to 4 at any given time when I was flipping houses, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, 1.3, piece of cake. I overpromised and underdelivered. Like I came in like at 10% of the whole raise and it hit me right away. Like, holy crap. I have the rank avatar of investors, right? I need the ones that would be passive long-term. So I had to quickly pivot there. So that's part of that first deal that I made, that I did, but I did close my first project and I got a small piece, but I learned how to make the sausage.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And that was basically the first project.
So talk to me about that first project, because it sounds like you had a very specific role, which was raising capital. Did you find or connect with an operator that already had the deal? Did you find the deal? Like talk about the structure and how you got involved.
All right. So you can't get paid just for raising money, right? So I had some other tasks to do, like some due diligence work, some, you know, I helped with some estimates on the construction side. So I had a couple of other items to do, as you know, but I was still able to raise some money for the project. And so this other operator had the project, his first big project in Charleston, South Carolina. And actually later on, we actually bought another building, a 208 building together, which I brought, you know, he partnered up with us. It was like reverse, right? Like I helped him. He was the guy, you know, who put it together. And then, you know, a few months later, I was the guy that put it together and he, you know, partnered with me, which is pretty neat. That's the way it works, guys. Big deals, you got to definitely network. So that's how I did it. I just connected with somebody and be like, how can I be of value? And let's roll, right?
Yeah. Yep. What I really hope people are hearing loud and clear is that the way that you've approached this business and life, Javier, is not with your hand out asking for something, but it's how do I contribute? How do I give? How do I help somebody? And in return, the scales are going to be tipped in your direction at one point or another. But I love the fact that you immersed yourself into, hey, how do I add value? How do I contribute a piece of the deal? And that's what I want people to understand is that you don't want to be the lone wolf that's trying to like take 100% of the grape versus, you know, like Tim Broad says, 50% of the watermelon, right? Yeah, the bigger deals you can figure out, carve out, you know, a piece for yourself based on what you can contribute and bring to the table. So that was your first deal, 60 units. How many units do you guys have now?
It's 690. So really the last 620-ish have really come in the last 12 months. Really, like that's been our biggest growth. Because when we got started, like we had a couple of deals under contract early part of 2020, COVID hit. All our loans got pulled. Yeah. So for like 6-7 months, we didn't do anything from our first deal. And then we ended up closing like in June, July, and then just bam, 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 right? Like the last year, I really bought over 600 units really in the last 12 months.
That's not uncommon for I'm not talking about the quantity. That's incredible what you've done in the last 12 months. But I have found that people that transition into multifamily, once they get their first deal closed, it almost seems like a domino effect after that. Is that accurate?
That's true. And the more you buy, the easier it gets. As crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, no, I get that. Well, man, so here you are, September 2019. I'm going to burn down. I'm going to burn the ships. I'm going to tear down creative destruction. I'm going to go into multifamily. 2.5 months later, you close your first 60 unit. 4 months after that, COVID hits America and essentially the world. Now we're in a pandemic. Yep. What's your mindset around that time, mid-March, beginning of April? You know, here you are now, you have a bunch of units. We got this uncertainty with COVID and the pandemic. What's the mindset? Like, kind of take me into what you're feeling during that period.
Oh man, it's just my number one strategy, right? It's all about the purchase price, right? The purchase price or your terms. So we're like, all right, guys, let's see what we're going to get. We're either going to get a stupid great deal, like super discounted, or we're going to get our terms, right? And that's just the way I went every day. Like people are still buying. I mean, people are still buying. People are still living. Yep. Even in 2008, 2009, 2010, people are still buying, still making money. But how much discount did you want to buy, right? Do you want to buy at 50% on a dollar, 60% on a dollar, right? Where did you want to be to feel comfortable buying an asset? And nobody really knew, right? So we had to come in and start buying stuff like a 60 cents on a dollar, just in case the market did crash, we could exit fairly quickly.
Correct. What about your existing tenant base? Were there any concerns about, hey, is rent going to continue to come in?
Yeah, everybody was concerned. Everybody thought it was going to be 50% collections and things like that. But you know what? I actually been pleasantly surprised. It's been, you know, 2-4%, you know, across the board. So it hasn't been that bad.
Okay. Phenomenal. So 600 and you said 680 units?
690, give or take a couple, just because it's not that many, but
690 units. What's the vision from here? Because I see you doing some pretty cool stuff on social media, and maybe now's the time we could talk about some of that stuff.
Okay, cool. So, you know, I really wanted to slow down a little bit before. I was like at 400 units just to kind of like, hey, let me relax. But then we got 123. It was a stupid good deal. And then a 48 unit and another 63. I'm like, okay, it just fell in my plate. And then a 312 unit we're going to buy next month. So it'll get me over 1,000. We're like 99% sure we're going to close. Hopefully, knock on wood, we do. And it's like, I wanted to slow down, but it's just, you build this momentum. And now I have people bringing me projects. Hey, I want to partner with you because they know I can close. We can, you know, they see me on social media. They like my personality. And like, all right, cool. That's awesome, right? Let's go ahead and do some deals together. And they're bringing projects and we work on them. Or in masterminds, people bring us projects. So that's crazy. At the same time, I wanted to kind of take a break, build my social media presence and, you know, just work on that side, right? Because you can raise a lot of capital. You can make a lot of connections, get more deal flow. I mean, I had the, you know, I was very honored that my friend Tim Mai and Robert G. Allen, they put this challenge together a couple of weeks ago. They call it the Teen Millionaire Challenge. I mean, all that came because of my social media, right? Social media is important, guys. It came out of that. So we're going to grab like 10 teenagers, random teenagers. They're going to come to Raleigh, North Carolina to my office. And then we're going to train them for 10 days, 2 weeks. And then we're going to send them off for a year. And we're going to follow up on with them, you know, like they have KPIs. The responsibility to take videos and spread out social media. The goal is the Teen Millionaire Challenge. We want them to be worth $1 million within 12 months, right? Wow. Buying apartment buildings, you know, buying commercial properties. So I'm going to be the mentor. And then Tim Mai and Robert G. Allen are kind of putting it together. They're trying to pitch it to Netflix, maybe a TV network. If they pick it up, awesome. But it's just going to be such a great opportunity, you know, for just some random teenager to find out, you know, that is a team effort, right? It's a team effort to buy commercial properties. And they might like real estate. They might not. Honestly, I think in public education, between like your junior and senior year, you should take a year break and you should go intern somewhere for 60 days. Do 6 internships, veterinarian, real estate guy, attorney, doctor, and just find out what the hell you want to do. How do you know what you want to do with the rest of your life at 16 years old? Heck, you and I didn't know that. I'm 40 at that point. I was 40. I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do.
Javier, I was just going to say, most adults I know still don't know what they want to do.
Right. So you go intern, right, and get the bug. Maybe they hate real estate, but at least they got something to, you know, to fall back on, because, man, there's something wrong with learning real estate, right? Maybe if you like it, if you don't, just still buy it anyways. Yeah. Buy it anyways, and you're going to be all right.
Man, I'm sitting here and I'm just kind of like, as I listen to you speak, I'm reflecting, because I remember the moment I met you and your wife. And then to fast forward less than 2 years later, not just are you about to cross over 1,000 units, which is pretty amazing, but, and I know that you're nowhere near done, you're just getting started, but now you're going to be impacting families and family generations for years and years and years to come with this Teen Millionaire Challenge. Have you had an opportunity to kind of sit back and just like soak it in?
Look, so if people ask me that all the time, right? Even my staff was asking me like, hey, how do you feel when you buy an apartment building or whatever? It's just like going to work, right? I just show up to work, I buy a building, I sign the loan, I get excited, and it's just off to the next thing, right? Let's get something else done. Yeah. So that's probably, I'll say that's one thing I have to work on, is sitting down, slowing down, and just letting everything kind of like settle in and let me enjoy the moment, right?
Okay.
I need to work on that so I can actually enjoy the moment. So on this Teen Millionaire Challenge, my daughter, she's 16, and I asked her, I said, hey, honey, you want to do this? And she decided, hey, I want to do this, Dad, because—
Awesome.
She's like, it's not going to be daddy's money, right? If I do it, it's going to be like my money. You know, she's great, man. She'll buy me lunch. She's like on her own, right? Like we were on vacation. She's buying her own clothes, you know, and like, cause she wants to be like independent on her own. And oh, I feel bad. Like I'm her dad. I'm your dad. Let me buy you clothes. She's like, Dad, I paid for it. I paid for it. You know?
So, that's incredible. And you guys have clearly raised her the right way. So that's a credit and testament to you guys. So I want to ask you another, could potentially be a challenging question for you, or sure, a difficult question to answer, but that's part of what I strive to do on the show, is not just always talk about the tactical X's and O's of building a real estate business, but you had mentioned something that kind of resonated with me earlier on. You said you sacrificed a lot, and you said your family sacrificed a lot because you were working so hard to build your single family business over the course of 6.5 years. Where do you stand? How does that aspect of your life look? You know, because somebody listening to this is saying, man, there's only 24 hours in a day. How has he been able to acquire 690 units, almost 1,000 units now in 19, 20 months? Like, have you learned, I guess, from your previous experience as far as all the time, energy, and effort to put into the business? Or is that something that has changed at all? I guess I'm just kind of curious, the separation between the personal and the business, and if that's something that you're still kind of struggling with.
Man, my wife should answer that question. Yeah, my wife should probably be really good, because look, when I meet somebody for dinner and it's a couple and you say, hey, how are you guys doing? The guy's like, oh, we're doing great, right? And they look at the wife. I always look at the wife. She just looks at him like, ask me how we're doing, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, hey, ask my wife, how am I doing with my time? Look, I used to work 60, 70 hours a week. I was flipping houses. I just went all in. Yeah, I had to work super hard. I wanted it, you know, and I did sacrifice my family, right? I mean, I'm sitting there in the kitchen table. They're all having a conversation. They're laughing. I'm looking right at you like I am right now, just like that. They're asking me a question. No idea. I'm just somewhere else, right? I mean, it was the worst feeling in the world. I felt bad. I can't imagine how they felt, right? So that was like my sacrifice, was my family's time and them growing up. So I have to really work on, you know, and worked on like putting the right people in the right place, so I don't have to. If it can be outsourced, outsource it so I can spend more time at home. Probably still working 40, 50 hours a week. Yeah. A little bit smarter now. I get a lot more time off. I can spend more time with my family, but I still got a long way to go because I'm still building, right? I'm still putting those pieces in place. And for you guys out there listening that, you know, maybe have another job, maybe don't have a lot of money in the bank, you just can't go out and hire people, right? So you got to partner up somehow and cut some expenses or make some money quicker so you can start outsourcing some of the easy stuff, right? Yeah. And free up your to go make more money. So it's a challenge. Your responsibilities, right? You got a wife, you got a kids, you got to pay the bills. If I was single, I sleep in my car, I shower at the gym, I do whatever the heck I had to do to make my business work, but I'm not. I got a family and kids, so it's extra pressure there for sure.
Yeah. Well, my friend, I want to acknowledge you again for the very honest answer, for the transparency. You're certainly not alone. I've been there in the past where you're there in body, but you're not there in mind. You're not fully present. I remember, I'll share a quick story here with you as we start to wrap up. I remember this was 2017 or 18. My daughter was 2018. My daughter was 3 years old. We were playing in the playroom and I had my phone next to me and I kept getting Podio messages that just kept popping up on my iPhone. And her and I were playing with the ball and she was throwing it to me. I was throwing it to her. And I remember strategically grabbing the ball and throwing it to the other side of the house. You know why?
So you could check your podio.
So I could check my friggin' podio. Like, oh, how sad is that? Like, I'm being really honest right now. And as I did it, it just felt weird, right? So I'm looking at my, and by the way, there was no fires. It was nothing important. I just wanted to see what the team was working on. And so she came back to me and she goes, Papi, like, pay attention. Like, basically pay attention to me. Because apparently she was there in front of me for like 20, 30 seconds trying to get, and I'm just so locked in on my phone. And from that moment on, I said, I resolved to fix this. And so when I got home, I would put my phone in the room. I would just work on being as present as possible. And from time to time, I still struggle with it. But dude, that kicked me right in the nuts. Like when she told me that.
It's tough, you know, and I know this story and my story is going to resonate with a lot of people out there. So, you know, it's tough. It's a tough position to be when you want to build something. And people ask me all the time, like, are you building it for your family? Is it for you? And I just said one day, I said, you know what? In a way, you know, I am a little selfish, right? You know, I want to accomplish these things. And sometimes you say, hey, I'm going to build it for my family. But the same people you say you're building it for, that's the ones you hurt.
That's right.
Right. So who are you really building it for? Is it really for you? Right. Or is it really for your family? Like, you know, and then you end up losing your family at the end. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough, but you got to make the right decision, the right choices. So
that's such a powerful way to end this show. And that's why I'm such a proponent and advocate of create a vision for what you want your life to look like without regards to money, time, or possessions. Create a vision for what you want your life to look like, then build a business to support and enhance that vision. The business is supposed to serve you, not the other way around. At least that's my humble opinion. So, brother, I so appreciate, again, your honesty, man. This has been a fun show, man. I'm so glad I had the opportunity. Why don't you tell people, and I'll throw it up on the screen here as you're talking, but I know you got a lot of stuff going on with the Teen Millionaire Challenge. And did I see, by the way, that you're considering buying a plane? Did I see that somewhere?
Yeah, it's already been done. How'd you see that? We'll talk about that some other time.
I have my methods, my friend. Yeah,
You know what?
So you bought a plane?
Yeah, we'll see if it was a good purchase or not. So my number one strategy is always a purchase price, right? So I have like three exit strategies. It was the most, probably a stressful closing I ever had. But maybe we got to jump another call and I'll see if I was a hero or from a zero with that move.
Well, I'm going to one up you even better and I'm going to figure out a way to get on that plane. And then you can tell me about it when we're on your plane.
Why not? Right. Let's go.
There you go. Awesome.
It fits 12 people. So it's not your little propeller. It's a big one.
Wow. Incredible. Yeah, we're going to have to talk offline. I can't wait to hear about it, but where can people connect with you, Javier?
Hey, just find me on Instagram, Javierhinojo.junior. Just Google my name. You can even do Facebook. You'll find me as well. I have a Facebook group, $1 billion multifamily and commercial real estate. Just reach out and let's connect.
Got it. And I'm sorry, Junior JR, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Javier Hinojo.
Perfect. Yeah. So tell me if I'm wrong. So at Hinojo.junior on Instagram. And then what is it, Javier?
It's Javier Hinojo.junior. So it's my first name.
Got it.
Yep. Last name dot junior. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Let me know if I got that right. Javier Hinojo da Jr.
Yes.
Not really, but we'll include it in the show notes,
that's
guys.
Good, that's good.
Yeah, we'll include it in the show notes so you guys can connect with Javier. And then where can they find out more about the Teen Millionaire Challenge?
Just go to my Facebook page right now because we didn't have much time to put it on. If you just go follow me on Facebook and you can see all my posts and you'll see my posts for the Teen Millionaire Challenge.
Okay, beautiful. And again, my friends, we'll include the link to Javier's IG and his Facebook in the show notes page. You can always message me and I'll make sure to connect you with him if for whatever reason you can't find him on social. But my man, congrats on all the success. I want to challenge you to continue to remain as present as possible with your family. And I'll accept the challenge coming back from you to me for the same thing. And I really believe that what you've shared, your story, the honesty, the transparency, I think it's going to hit people between the eyes and really help them. So thank you.
Oh, man, Alex, a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Awesome, man. Well, I will connect with you, my friends, on the next masterclass. Thank you for giving us your valuable time and for listening to us. And the one way you can repair Javier and I is to just take one thing you heard and then use it, apply it in your life and business to take you towards the direction that you want to go. So with that being said,
I forgot one thing, Alex, I forgot. So I do have a podcast.
Yes.
The naked truth about real estate investing.
Hold on. Let me throw it up. The naked truth about real estate investing.
Yes.
All right. Got it. So, and that's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. So we'll include the link as well, the Naked Truth About Real Estate Investing. So definitely check it out. And Javier's got a really cool story, and he's doing some, obviously, he's doing some big, big things. So make sure you follow him. Javier, appreciate you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex.
Pretty awesome story, huh? Interesting to end the show. I should have asked him earlier on to give us some details on that plane he's buying. But, you know, I think one of the things I hope you guys take from that is the importance of the community that you immerse yourself in, the people that you surround yourself by, because, you know, hearing one thing or having one conversation, a change in perspective and mindset can mean all the difference in your life and business. So if you have any interest in learning more about the community that we have built in Ascend, head over to ascendyoursuccess.com. Would love to connect with you. As always, always looking for the right person that is at a certain place in their business, but they know that there's more, that they desire for impact. They desire to just to live life on their terms. So if you want a better life and business, I think we've built the community and have the type of people and the support that I don't know can be gained in very many places. So with that being said, ascendyoursuccess.com if you have interest. Otherwise, thank you for taking the time. Let's start a dialogue. Connect with me on social. Reach out if I can help you in any way. And I will catch you, as always, on the next one. Take care. All right, my friend, I hope you enjoyed that Flip Empire episode and got a lot of value out of it. Make sure to check the show notes page for any resources that were mentioned. And speaking of resources, honestly, I don't think I've done the best job of sharing with you my top curated, highly recommended tools and resources that I use in my business or have used in my business. In some cases, these are affiliate relationships with people that I highly trust and respect, and I know these tools and resources can help you and your business go to the next level. And as an ethical bribe, if you decide to try out one of these resources using my link, I will go ahead and send you an unadvertised bonus. I'll send you something of high value. All you got to do is shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com. Go ahead and let me know that you tried out this resource, and however I can help you getting started with that, chances are that I know it very, very well and currently use it or have used it. So make sure to check that out, flipempire.com/resources. And if I can be of help or service to you in any way, just shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com, and I will do anything I can for you. Have an amazing day, and I'll catch you on the next show.